Less equals more. We're going to be going through 1 Samuel. Last week we looked at the story of Hannah and how she wanted a son worse than anything else in the world, like more than anything else in the world. And she ended up pouring her soul out to the Lord in desire for that, and then once she got it, she gave him back to the Lord. She continued to give back to the Lord. It is evidence that we have to always be people that are people that are going to be giving back to the Lord, emptying our soul. We did that last week. Hopefully that was an incredible exercise for you. I know it was powerful for a lot of people. I've had a lot of comments this week. We're going to be jumping into the next part of our series, and the next part of the story in 1 Samuel, where we're going to be looking at the life of Samuel, the little boy that she dropped off. That she dropped off there at the temple. And tonight, really, the main point tonight is about listening, about hearing the voice of the Lord. And we know, you've heard 1,000 talks, or if it's not a sermon, there's some kind of a talk that you've heard of, I'm sure of, in our culture today that would emphasize and re-emphasize how we are just overloaded with podcasts, we're plugged in, listening to music, movies, whatever it might be, and that there needs to be some downtime to let the Lord or to let God talk to you. So that's really where we're going tonight. And I thought it might be actually helpful for us to start by listening to a story of a guy in Japan. And so, since Japanese is not like my first language or my second language, I thought maybe I would read his name because I can't ever remember. But it's Itadu Sasaki. Itadu Sasaki. And he was from the town of Otsuchi. Otsuchi. Itadu had a cousin who died about six years ago. And he wanted so badly to talk to his cousin, to hear from his cousin, to be in touch with his cousin. And he missed him in such an incredible way that he did something kind of radical, kind of extreme. You know those old phone booths that you see like in London, you know? They're like big and yellow and kind of cool looking. Well, he got one of those. And he got an old phone, kind of like the one we've got here. And he stuck it in there, and it's not hooked up to anything. And he put that phone in this phone booth out in his garden. And whenever he felt like he needed to talk to his cousin or connect more with his cousin, he'd go out to his garden, open the phone booth, walk in, and he'd just pick up this handle, and he'd talk to him. About a year after that, you guys may have remembered there was a great tsunami that hit Japan. And Otsuchi was devastated, and more people died from that town than any other town. And Itadu said that over the last 5 years, word has gotten out about his phone booth. And he estimates that over 1,000 people have come to his garden to visit the phone booth, to pick up a handle to a phone that's not connected to anything and talk to their relatives. A deep desire within these people to be reconnected with the people that they've lost. And so I was listening to this documentary, and it was interesting that there were some people that traveled 4, 6, 8 hours to come to visit this phone booth. They'd get a train ticket and a bus ticket and whatever it took, and they would come, they'd stand in line, and they'd come up to this booth. They'd walk in, and this one kid, teenager, starts talking to his dad who he lost in the tsunami. And it was such a powerful experience for him that he went back and he got his mom and he got his sisters, and they all came with him the next time, and It was interesting listening to the translation of what was happening there, because in Japan, there's this really close connection between life and death. And I think maybe more here in the West, we just feel like dead is dead, but there's a little bit more of a connection to the dead. And it was interesting, as I was listening to it, that everyone seemed like they needed to talk. Nobody would listen. Until this girl gets into the booth, it was her turn. And she's with her brother, and she's like scared. And she says, "What do I say?" He says, "Say whatever you want." And so you could feel like the raw emotions starting to come out of this girl, and eventually she's like, "Dad, I just need you to talk to me." And she walks out disappointed, maybe therapeutic, and they go home. And I ask you this question tonight. Do you have a desperation to talk to the Lord? Do you have a desperation to hear from the Lord? If this God really is God, if he really does have this love for you that's so deep that he would die for you, don't you think he might just want to talk to you? It's kind of cool, as I was listening to these people, like there was this hope upon hope, that as they're talking on this phone, they called it like the wind phone, like their words were going to be carried to this far off place where they might reach the ears. What if you were guaranteed that your words were reaching your Creator, the one who made you? And crazier yet, what if he's got a phone booth? And he's been talking to you loud and clear, but we haven't been listening. I'm going to ask tonight that we would be reconnected with the Lord. Because as real as that attempt was by those people to meet with people that they were disconnected from, I believe that you probably need that same kind of desperation, or you're not going to make it. You're not going to make that happen unless you're desperate enough. So are you desperate enough? Maybe tonight that's my prayer for you, is that you would become desperate enough to want to go into the phone booth to chat with the Lord. Well, we've got a text tonight. This is from the book, chapter 3 of 1 Samuel. And I just really like it. Like, 1 Samuel is an awesome book because it's just like stories, you know? Like, it's just easy to understand. And so let's all stand as we read this together. Let's all stand. We're just going to go through the entire chapter of chapter 3. And it's a story, so follow along. It says this: "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions." Kind of like today. "And one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out." I used to think that was something symbolic. It's really mainly talking about a candle lit in there. So it's reinforcing that this is happening at night. "And Samuel, he was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called to Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' But Eli said, 'I did not call. Go back and lie down.' And so he went and he lay down. Again, the Lord called, 'Samuel.' And Samuel got up and he went to Eli and he said, 'Here I am. You called me.' 'My son,' Eli said, 'I did not call. Go back and lie down.' And now Samuel did not yet know the Lord." Very important. "The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, 'Samuel.' And Samuel got up and he went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. And so Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.' And so Samuel went and he lay down in his place. And the Lord came and he stood there calling, as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end, for I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin that he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. And Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And he was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and he said, Samuel, my son. And Samuel answered, here I am. What was it he said to you? Eli asked. Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything that he told you. And so Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. And then Eli said, he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. And the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall on the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear to Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. You can be seated. There's a lot of things in that text tonight that we need to dive into. And you got to understand as a backdrop that Eli was the priest. And Eli had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And Hophni and Phinehas were bad, bad dudes, doing some really, really awful things, took advantage of people terribly, made God angry, and God says, I need a new leader in this place. I need a new leader in this land. And he took Hannah's gift that she poured her soul out to. He took Samuel, and he says, you're my new man. And so he starts speaking to him, but he's not recognizing it because he hadn't yet been aware of the Lord's calling. How many of you here, I just can't help but think, might fall into that category of someone that's listening, but not listening. You can hear, but you're not hearing. I believe God has something to tell all of us in this room if we would just tune our ears to it. And so Samuel gets his ears tuned in, and there's a few things that I think about as I look at that story that might be really helpful, specifically as we're talking about less equaling more. The first thing is this, is that I think we need to have less talking. So many times I go to the Lord and all I've got is a list to tell him. A list of requests, a list of things to pray for, a list of thank yous, but I just don't spend a lot of time listening. And if I'm being really honest with you, the most precious times in my entire life with the Lord are late at night. And I tell people this, like people ask me, how do you prep for sermons? I'll tell you what I normally do, the times where God speaks the loudest to me is when it's 11 o'clock at night, it's dark in my house, I have one lamp on, and I have the Bible open. God speaks to me in those moments. Those are times that I'm unplugged. Those are times that my phone's in the other room. Those are times I cannot have Facebook even within a mile of me, or I'll be watching it. And in those moments, God seems to speak to me, and he says, "It's so less talking would be my first point. Quit running. Oh, yeah, I'm going to put those. Yeah, oh, yeah, right there. Less talking. It's right there. Less talking. Maybe we should quit running to our pastors and our parents and our friends and listen to God. Are you listening? Instead of running to Eli, who's your Eli? You have some advice or you're seeking? You've got a friend that you go to before God. I know you do. I do too. I'm guilty too. Who do you need to listen to? The Lord. Now, please listen to your friends too. God can use them, but let's listen. Are you listening as you read the Bible, or are you just reading the Bible? As we read the Bible, would you be someone who's listening? Would you picture yourself inside that phone booth with that desperation of something? God, would you tell me something? And as you read the text and understand that he's trying to talk to you through that text, I'm guaranteeing he will talk to you. Are you listening when you read the Bible? Are you listening when you observe pain around you? When you see the people around you that are suffering, you see the things that just don't make sense, and you're like, man, I can't make sense of this whole thing. This just seems too tragic or ridiculous. I don't understand how this all... Are you listening? God might have something there to tell you and to teach you in that moment. Instead of just throwing up your hands and saying it's all something you can't understand and therefore I'm going to spite God, perhaps he's got something there to teach us in those moments. Are you listening as you observe pain of the people around you? Are you listening when you take a walk? Are you listening when you lie down in your bed at night? You guys remember Mother Teresa? She was on one of her missions, and she was in India, and she was serving these people. And there was a reporter that came to her. I think it was actually a famous reporter. I think it was Dan Rather, to be honest. It was some nationally known dude. And he sat with her, and he said, so when you pray, and you pray like 4 or 5 hours in the morning or something ridiculous like that, she goes, yeah, what do you say? Good question. And she looks back at Dan and she says, I don't. I listen. Ooh, good answer, Mother Teresa. She's always got a good one. So, Dan Rather comes back and he says, okay. What does he say? Good answer. Good comeback question, actually. And she leans right back into him and she says, he listens too. I want that to be our backdrop this evening. I want you to picture God in his phone booth and you in your phone booth with great desperation to connect, with great desperation to be one. And we're going to talk a little bit more. He's got some tools in his phone booth that we don't have, okay? We'll get there at the end of the talk. But as our backdrop, I want you to picture a God who's listening to you. He hears you. He hears your cries. He knows your desires. He knows your heart. He knows what future issues you're trying to get through or what relationships you're trying to get through now. He understands it all because he's listening to you. Are you listening to him? He's got answers for you. But I'm telling you, some of those answers are going to be hard. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's take the second thing that we need to have less of. Is we need to have less distractions. Back to our original question, are you desperate enough? I think it's pretty clear to you and to me, it's pretty clear to me that we have distractions. We're always plugged in. We have entertainment. Like, we have a screen in front of our face constantly. I know this. You know this. I could preach the best sermon in the whole world to convict you guys about how you shouldn't be having this device in front of you. I was talking to some of you at the campus house today. It'll last about, 3 hours. Because it's just the world we live in. I get it. You get it too. And so I don't think that we can talk about just walking away from the technology that we have, walking away from our devices, as much as we have to talk about walking into something, about embracing something. And there's a phrase, this is probably the key phrase in the entire talk tonight. Did you catch it? With a phrase that Samuel spoke back to the Lord. Speak to me, Lord, for I am listening. Speak to me, Lord, for I am listening. For your servant is listening. Are you the servant of the Lord? There's a lot of things about that sentence that are awesome. First of all, he's the Lord. It's Speak to me, Lord. Second part is, I'm a servant, for your servant is listening. I'm in tune. And the best way, listen to this, understand this, write it down if you have to, the best way for you to tune your ears is for you to vocalize your voice. To tune your ears by saying, God, speak to me. Say it out loud. God, speak to me, for your servant is listening. You say that out loud, you are telling yourself the truth, you are embracing something, you are requesting something from his phone booth to yours. It is game time. But if you just think about it and ponder on it, and I wonder if he's listening, and then you get yourself in some big circle and you don't even know what you're talking or thinking about after about 5 minutes like me, you're going to get yourself confused. Speak out loud those that statement that Samuel did, and I guarantee you your ears will be tuned because you are saying what you need to do. You're telling yourself what you need to do. Speak to me, Lord, for your servant is listening. Best way to tune your ears is to vocalize that voice. Last thing to be less of is, I think we need to be less random. I look at Samuel. He was just hanging out, trying to go to sleep, and God had something to say. So, I mean, this was a unique situation, but God was like, Samuel, 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 Samuel. And finally, he, gets it. But you'll notice that he ends up getting into a pattern of listening to the Lord. And that pattern is what I want for you. Don't wait for God to come marching through a whole bunch of hoops that you've set up. Make it easy for him. And so my last thing, make something regular. Have a regular time, a regular place, a phone booth. Build your own phone booth. I don't care. Do it. It's going to look weird. That's cool. Do it. Maybe your phone booth, so to speak, is fourth floor of, I don't know, a building here on campus. I don't want to give away ideas. Or you'll all be like, whoa, what are you doing here? Yeah, it's kind of cool. Tight little quarters. But make some sort of a regular time and a regular place. Hey, Mondays, 2 o'clock in the attic of someplace. I don't know where you're going to go, but find someplace. Make it yours. Think about that. Ask the Lord, God, where's our place going to be? Because I guarantee you, if your place is in your bed late at night, it's just going to end up being sleep time. Because you're going to get really comfortable, just like I used to when I'd study, and say, you know what, I'm going to get in a good posture so I can really talk to the Lord for a long, long time. And you get that pillow propped up, just like you're about ready to read. You know how that works? And you start laying down, and you're just out. That is not a phone booth, okay? We need to find a spot, and you need to find a time so it's less random, less work for the Lord to work through. A couple of concluding statements. Eli was basically his dad. In a lot of ways, he was like his dad. He was his priest. He was an authority. He was the religious authority in all the land. And Samuel, man, Samuel, a kid, I don't know how old he is, but he's not very old. He's still at least a teenager or younger. Gets a word from the Lord, and the word of the Lord is, I've got something that's going to shake everything up. Listen up, because I'm telling you what it is. Eli hasn't been faithful and his kids have been worse, and I'm going to bring some havoc to their family, and there's going to be some consequences to their actions. And you, kid, have to tell them. And wasn't Eli cool in that text where he was like, tell me, because he knows when the Lord speaks, the Lord usually is telling things that you need to hear, not things you want to hear. And he knows that the Lord is saying something he needed to hear. And he says, don't hold back. Tell me the truth. So Eli tells him the truth, and he says, may it be. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. I'm going to tell you something right now. It's going to cut right to your soul. There are a lot of you in this room, and myself included, that don't want to listen. You don't want to go in the phone booth. You don't want to hear what he's got to say because he might tell you to break up with your boyfriend. He might tell you to break up with your girlfriend. He might tell you that you got to have a career change. He might tell you that the friend group that you think is really awesome is really not that awesome and you need to find another friend group. He might tell you some things you don't want to hear and you know it. Because the Lord tells you things you need to hear, not things you always want to hear. And you know it. So I have to ask you the question, are you the servant of the Lord? Or are you just a fan? And that's where those words and that phrase and that sentence is really going to come clear to you. It's going to be important for you to say because it's going to remind you that you're a servant of the Lord. A lot of people say they're a servant of the Lord, but they don't want to go in the phone booth. I'm telling you, if you don't want to listen to what the Lord has to say, you are not a servant of the Lord. A servant of the Lord is going to ask God, what is it you see best? And I'm going to adjust my life to it. And that's where God is over here in his phone booth, and he's like, please pick up the phone. Because I'm not mean. I don't want to just ruin your life while you're picking up the phone. That's not what I'm here for. I want to make your life amazing. I want to make your life beautiful. I want to make your life awesome. I'm telling you right now, 22 years later, my brother is on the phone with me every night of the week saying, I wish I would have listened to God on the phone because I'm going through a divorce now and I shouldn't be in that relationship that I said was awesome 22 years ago. It's not the right one. He's going through a terrible time right now. And there's a lot of you in this room that are like, man, I just want to encourage everybody. And somebody's like, I think, and everyone knows in the room this is a bad choice. And you're like, yeah, because that's what people do. But I'm telling you, you listen to the Lord, he's not gonna do it in a way that's harsh. He's not going to do it in a way that's hard for you. It might be hard things to hear, but he's loving you all the same time. And he's like, it isn't just no, it's here's a better path. I got an awesome plan for you. Listen to my voice. And when you listen to him, he guides you where you need to go. But I'm telling you this, everybody starts on a path, and we just assume what we've started on is probably right. What are the chances of that? Do you know how many times God has had to say, Pete, oh yeah, that this probably makes more sense. Yeah, that's right. I dare you, I implore you, I ask you, I'm requesting you, I beg you. Pick up the phone. Listen, God wants to steer you right. God is not a God of no, he's a God of yes. And he's got a big yes for you somewhere. Another concluding point that I thought might be helpful for us is that Samuel's reputation ended up growing. It says from Dan to Beersheba, wherever that is. I assume that's a long ways. His reputation grew as a prophet of the Lord. You start to listen to God, people are going to notice that. Pretty awesome. I got to talk to my daughter, Micah, this weekend, and I always brag on her when she's not around, but I'm just going to brag on her a little bit right now. There's a kid that was in high school that's down at SEMO with her right now, and she was just walking. She said, I never talked to him once in high school, and now she just like talked to him a little bit there, and he was just so honest, and he said, I just have noticed from a distance how your reputation has always been good, and I've always wanted that. She had no idea that her reputation was good outside of her little circle, like her little insecurity. She was like, oh my goodness, people are noticing that I listen to the Lord. That's what will happen from Dan to Beersheba. People are going to notice that you're a listener of the Lord. You don't even have to tell them you listen to the Lord. Just listen to the Lord, and it will become obvious to those around you. And the last thing is it says that God continued to speak to Samuel through his word. And that leads me to us describing what his telephone booth looks like. See, we really only have one tool, and that's our desperation. And God says, I've got a few tools for you, for us to connect. He says, I'm going to put in here a voice for you to talk to me. I will hear you. That's prayer. Not saying our prayers, but maybe crying out to him like that little girl in that telephone booth. Cry out to the Lord. Be honest with him. He can take it. The second thing is he writes things down for us to read. How amazing is that? That we have a love letter from God that we just, all we have to do is read it. And if we could just imagine telephone booths like in Afghanistan and here, and your best friend is over serving in the military, and he sent you an email, and you didn't read it, seems a little weird. Or if your best friend is in this other country, he wants to FaceTime you, and he wants to talk with you, and you don't talk, that'd be a little weird. But there's two other ways that we can connect with him, and that is that we can find other people that are also connected to God, and that's community, that's small group, that's here, that's like a family reunion. I often think about some guy in Afghanistan. One of my buddies was serving there, and it's like I kind of want to go to his family reunion here while he's over there and just like ask his sister, like, what's he really like? And I get to know a little bit more about my friend through his sister. That's how it is here. God's like, use the community. Understand that you can learn lessons from each other. Jam some other people into this telephone booth with you and ask them. I talk to other people, not just you. Other people listen. Ask them. And then lastly, and this is one we don't often think about, but when your relationship is tight, when you start to really realize that God is connected to you, that you have surrendered, much like Grace just talked about last year. She surrendered and was baptized last year. It's not really this long distance thing. It's like this close thing, like he's your friend, like he's in the booth with you. Like as you walk through life, you guys are together. And when that happens, you want to tell somebody. And I can remember in college, I know it was really weird. There was a friend of mine from high school, and he was far from the Lord. And I was far from the Lord. And I went to him, and I said, I know this is going to sound crazy. I know this is going to sound absolutely crazy. I got a new friend. And I know that it sounds crazy that I would talk about God as my friend, but God's my friend. And Jesus is his name. And I just want you to know that that's what's happening. And the more I shared in that kind of a way, the closer I was to Jesus. So say your prayers. Talk to the Lord. Read his letters, hang out with his people, and share him with other people. That's your four ways of listening and connecting to him. So let's do less. Less stuff, less talking, less random talks, less random meetings with him, and less distractions. And let's just cry out to him and let him talk to us. Yeah, I'm excited to take some time now. And we're just going to, to close out tonight, we're going to sing a few songs. And as they come forward and as they prepare and as they get ready for us to sing, I'm going to ask you, maybe you tonight don't sing. Maybe you listen. Maybe you just sit there and listen. But we're going to spend some time praying, crying out to the Lord together. And I want, if you're one of those practical people that really wants something to do, like something that you really, figure out where your phone booth's going to be this week. Figure out where you are going to set up a time and a place to meet with him each week. Let's all stand and I'll pray. God, you are the great fulfiller of our souls. And we spent some time last week emptying our souls, taking the things that we had in our souls out that didn't belong there, but now we're asking God that you'd fill our souls back up with what needs to be there. That we would be people that would be listening to the correction maybe in our life, to the thing that you want us to change into. Because we know we're people of distraction and we want to change. We want to go after you. So I'm asking God that in this hour, in this next few 15 minutes or whatever time we sing, that you would be honored in it, that you would talk to us, that we would have our ears tuned as you speak. It's in Jesus' name we pray.